Last time on Jonathan Park and the mystery at McBain Manor.
Thanks for bringing me to church with you.
Sure, Jesse. Well, I know how you always talk about being a missionary someday.
Izzy was a member of this wonderful church which has a heart for missions.
Jonathan, Thad, Eddie, and Mike all decided to take the day off.
We lost a playoff game so they could go to church?
I've already got a plan to get them back big time.
Kendall, what do you make of this?
That really doesn't look like a football banquet, does it?
Eddie, didn't Rusty say it's at a big house?
Yeah.
Good evening.
You must solve a mystery. Mr. McBain turned Elizabeth out into the night and demanded that she never return. Elizabeth died only a few days later of pneumonia. The legend says that guilt drove Mr. McBain to madness as he dug a grave in the basement of this very house and buried her within.
So what's the mystery?
Some folks say that the legend is wrong. Elizabeth did seem to disappear, but nobody has ever found her body. What happened to
her? Put down those chains! You're not scaring anyone, Rusty!
I'm stuck here, too.
Great.
My uncle never told me where he put the key, but he said that when he solved the mystery about Elizabeth McBain, he'd find it.
Well, guys, as strange as it may seem, with all the doors deadbolted from the outside and the windows barred, it may be our best bet.
Jim, there's someone in this house besides us.
Yeah, come on, let's find out who.
What's that?
I don't believe it!
Oh, wow, look! The fireplace is moving to the side!
Wow!
A secret passage! We're standing in the room of a girl who has been missing for more than 100 years.
Dad! Timmy! Where are they?
They were just here. Something weird's going on. It's like they disappeared instantly without a trace.
That's starting to sound like the legend of Elizabeth McBain.
Kendall, you remember? She was never seen again.
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the mystery at McBain Manor.
Jesse and Katie, can you guys believe we found Elizabeth McBain's room?
No.
It's strange, huh, Jonathan?
Definitely.
Oh, Shadow, no! Come here, boy! Look, there's a comb and brush in the top drawer of her vanity. I'm kind of surprised she didn't keep her Bible in here next to her bed.
It's strange that it was in some secret passageway.
Yeah.
Was she trying to hide it?
Mm.
So what else is in the drawer?
Yeah.
Well, some scrap paper, a hair clip.
Hey, something fell out of it!
It looks like a note from her mom.
Shadow, oh. Shadow, be quiet.
Well, listen, I think I hear someone calling us.
Me too. We better get back to the trophy room.
Yeah.
Let's just go back through our secret passage. Come on, Shadow.
Hurry, let's go.
Eddie, I think we're in Mr. and Mrs. McBain's bedroom.
I think you're right, Mike.
Oh, Eddie, look. You knocked a picture off the dresser.
Hey, look. There's two pictures, one hidden behind the other. A secret picture.
I bet the secret picture is of Mr. and Mrs. McBain with Elizabeth as a baby.
I think you're right. But look how different Mr. and Mrs. McBain look.
Maybe it's because they're younger.
I also think this must have been taken on one of Mr. McBain's trips to Africa. See the grass hut behind them?
So, why were they hiding it?
Remember how Mr. McBain didn't like Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Maybe Mrs. McBain was hiding it from him. Hey, what are you doing?
I was just looking through Mr. McBain's closet. I found an old suit in here. See that bust of Mr. McBain?
No, but I see that sculpture of Mr. McBain's head and shoulders.
That's what I mean, Eddie. Anyway, I got an idea on how to have a little fun with Rusty.
Ooh, what are you thinking?
Okay, we'll set it up on the fireplace. Here, help me. Ah, like that. Now, we'll put Mr. McBain's jacket on it and drape the rest of the clothes on it like this.
With the clothes, that looks like the real McBain.
Now, all we have to do is lure Rusty in here and...
It sounded like the walls were talking.
Eddie, don't be ridiculous.
You're right. Walls can't talk. Oh, I guess I'm finally losing it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit down right here in this easy chair next to the fireplace and... Look, Mr. McBain is moving!
Oh, Hey, Eddie, look behind you. I think it's a secret passage.
I must have triggered it when I sat down in the chair.
So, as the fireplace moved open, it pushed the statue. It wasn't moving on its own at all.
Yeah. Boy, I was convinced that it was coming after me.
Cool. Well, why don't you grab that lantern and let's check out this secret passageway.
Okay, but first, let's set up old Mr. McBain again.
Oh yeah, and I can't wait to see the look on Rusty's face.
Did you hear that? Somebody came into the secret passage.
Oh, no. What if it's that guy that's been running around here?
Guys, hurry, hide the light.
I think it's Mike and Eddie.
What are you guys doing here?
We just dropped in for
your visit.
Where'd you guys come from?
Mr. and Mrs. McBain's bedroom. Hey, are Thad and Timmy with you?
Well,
oh no.
No, I thought they were with you.
I just wish we knew where the kids went. I pray they're safe.
We need to solve this mystery so we can get out of here.
So what clues have we found so far? By the looks of these masks and figurines, Mr. McBain was fascinated with the African culture.
Yeah, you'd think a hunter like himself would appreciate the amazing design with which the animals he hunted were made.
In the notes and drawings in these books, it seems he had a great respect for them.
Really? What does he say?
Well, right here, he's talking about elephants. He writes, "It was a most hair-raising event to bring down this gentle giant. We spied them from a distance, but then they became disturbed by something, maybe us, for they have great hearing. At any rate, they started to charge. We feared for our lives because not only do they weigh an average of 6.6 tons and could trample you, but they have over 40,000 muscles in the trunk, which can kill with a single blow. After outwitting them, we nearly escaped with our lives."
How interesting.
You know, he mentioned that the trunk of an elephant has 40,000 muscles, but it also has two finger-like structures at the end. This allows these creatures to pick up things and reach high up into the trees to grab their food. Their trunk is handy enough to pick up a tiny blade of grass and yet strong enough to lift a tree trunk.
Wow.
If God made the elephant, why'd he give him such a goofy nose?
An elephant can store up to 4 gallons of water in that trunk and then squirt it into his mouth when he's thirsty. He can suck up mud or dust to spray on himself to stay cool. Elephants also communicate their moods with their trunks and even sometimes have wrestling matches with them.
And God made the elephant's ears pretty special too, didn't he?
That's right, Jim. Elephants' ears are made especially to keep the elephant cool. It works a little bit like a radiator in a car, okay? When the elephant flaps his ears, the air cools the blood flowing through the ear, helping to control the elephant's body temperature.
And of course, they also have very good hearing.
Yes, they do. The elephant can hear sounds much lower than we can. Now, using these ears, elephants can communicate over very long distances.
Elephants sure give a new meaning to the term flatfoot.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Rusty. God gave them specially designed feet. You see, there's an elastic spongy cushion in their soles. Now, this allows them to support all their weight and to move quietly.
What about their tusks?
Well, elephants use their tusks for prying bark off of trees or digging down for roots. An elephant can also use them for weapons if he needs to. While humans get 2 sets of teeth in their lifetime, elephants get 6 because of all the rough things they eat.
Okay, so why did God make their skin all wrinkly and stuff?
Well, Rusty, even that skin has a special design. It's made to keep the elephant cooler. When he sprays himself with water, it gets trapped in those wrinkles, so it doesn't just roll off his back right away. When the water evaporates, it cools him down. So, Rusty, even the elephant is a testimony to God's wonderful design.
Pretty amazing, eh, Rusty?
Yeah.
I must say at this point, I'm more worried about the others. Where are they, and why haven't they come back here?
Did you hear that? Someone shut a door.
It sounded like it was downstairs.
It could be one of the kids.
Or...
We know, Rusty. Okay, Kendall, here we go again.
So, what about you guys? Did you find any clues?
We found her Bible.
Yeah.
She was a Christian?
Yep. It shows that she made a commitment to the Lord on her 15th birthday in 1899.
And we also found this note from her mom.
Oh, yeah.
What did it say?
We've been so busy trying to get back to the trophy room, we forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you'd better read it so we all know what it says,
mm-hmm.
in case some of us disappear.
Oh, that's a creepy thought.
She says, "My dearest Elizabeth, I am sorry about your father's anger at your new faith in the Almighty God. He believes our origins have been explained by Charles Darwin's book on evolution. In his mind, you no longer appreciate all he holds dear. Please understand that I love you, and in his own way, he loves you dearly too. That is why he is so angry about this recent conversion. I'm sure the passion will fade on both sides, and all will be much as it was before. All my love, Mother."
So, her parents weren't Christian.
What's that?
Whoa.
It's a snake.
What's a stuffed snake doing in the passageway?
It looks like a cobra of some sort.
It's a Mozambique spitting cobra.
Ooh, neat.
How do you know that, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Well, it says so right on the plaque.
I hate snakes.
I think they're really cool.
Uh-huh.
Like what?
Well, we were studying snakes in school. Do you know about snake scales?
No, Mike. Why don't you tell us about them?
I guess scales aren't individual pieces, like on a fish.
Oh, really?
Their skin actually folds into hundreds of scales that cover their body.
Wow.
This design allows the scales to stretch as the snake slithers and moves.
What do they use them for?
Yeah.
Well, the scales protect the snake, kind of like a set of armor.
Ooh.
It also gives them traction, like the tread on a tire.
That's neat.
I've heard a snake's eye is also covered by scales.
Ooh. That's right. A clear scale that protects its eye.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hey, look, there's some notes on the stand.
What did they say?
Well, Mr. McBain wrote this. It says, "We came around the bend in the trail when we undoubtedly scared this Mozambique spitting cobra. We were startled when it lifted its head and stretched out its hood. We were quite familiar with the fact that this type of snake has the ability to spray its venom up to 8 feet.
Whoa.
Was the spray of venom poisonous?
Yes, Eddie. That's kind of the general definition of venom. As a matter of fact, I think the Mozambique cobra's venom is strong enough to cause instant blindness and even death in some cases.
Yeah, that's what his notes say.
What else?
He gives us a bunch of facts about snakes. For example, it says a snake's lower jaw isn't attached to the rest of the jaw like other animals. I guess this gives it the ability to open its mouth really wide to swallow the large meals.
Gross!
Yeah, but it also says that snakes' ribs are made special so that they can expand as they swallow their whole prey.
So, finish the story. Does it say what happened to Mr. McBain?
Oh, yeah. It says, "As my guide Khalil jumped back in fear, I drew on my revolver and managed to incapacitate the creature before it could exact its toll upon us."
Brave.
He killed it.
That's kind of obvious. I mean, here it is on display.
This snake reminds me of something Mom and I learned during homeschool.
What's that?
The snake uses its tongue to pick up dust particles and bring it inside his mouth, past the Jacobson's organ, to the roof of his mouth. It allows him to have a super sense of smell.
Well, I guess it's pretty obvious that God gave the snake some special abilities.
As interesting as this snake is, shouldn't we keep looking for clues?
I think we better get going.
My light's starting to go out.
Oh, no. All right, here's the back entrance of the trophy room.
Where's the lever?
Yeah. I don't see one.
Look, it's broken off.
Oh, no.
So, Mike and Eddie, you guys said you entered the passage from the McBain's room.
Yep.
Well, since we can't get back into the trophy room, let's go back there.
Hey, come on. I think this is the pantry.
Hey, a door to the outside.
It's dead bolted, just like the rest.
Wow, look at this. A bulletin board with all kinds of articles about this place.
Yeah.
Look, here's a very old newspaper with an obituary about one of the daughters of the McBain family. It says here she died from pneumonia when she was 15 years old.
Oh, what's the date of the article?
1902. I think we just solved this mystery.
I think you may be right. And look, here's a recent article declaring this place a historical monument.
Oh.
It says the Historical Society is due to start restoring it in just a couple of months.
That would account for the new deadbolts on the doors and the bars on the windows.
Hey, somebody just slipped out the door.
Hey, come.
Let's get him.
Hey, stop!
He and his dog are headed up the stairs.
Toward our family.
Shh! Did you see the man?
Oh, Kendall, thank goodness it's you. Why in the dark?
Shh! Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
He's right next door in the master bedroom.
All right, let's go. Kendall, he's gotta be somewhere in this bedroom. Right there! What? Oh, no, that's just a sculpture of Malcolm McBain.
Oh, man. Why is it in a suit?
This place is strange. Mm-hmm. Kendall, I think I see him behind some clothes in the closet.
Let's sneak over quietly.
All right.
Voices in the walls! I gotta hide!
Rusty!
Ah! It's Malcolm McBain!
Rusty, it's just a statue of...
McBain's alive and he's coming after me!
Shh,
gotta hide!
Look, the fireplace is opening and it's making the statue
move! Not in the closet, Rusty!
Hey, guys!
Eddie?
What?
Now, where did you come from?
Well, the secret passage!
There's our mystery man!
Help! Help! He's got me and he's got a dog!
Kid, you're in my way!
Move!
Out!
The man's escaping through the fireplace!
Let's get him! Come on, Shadow!
Is everyone okay?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. Hey, where's Rusty?
He's gone!
Weird. It's like in the middle of the action, Rusty just disappeared.
It's quite an elaborate passageway. He seems to be headed to the basement.
We're gaining on him.
Go, Shadow! He's just about to get through the door. Hurry, Jim, don't let it close! Got it!
Did you hear that?
The
door locked behind us.
Great. There he is. Mister, you have a lot of explaining to do.
Oh, what happened, Katie?
I bumped into that dresser, and something fell off.
It looks like an old jewelry box.
Hey, look. There's a locket and a letter inside.
A locket?
Well, it's a picture of a lady and a girl.
Cool.
Hey, look. There's an inscription on the back. It says, "To Grandma Rose with all our love." So the woman in this picture was probably Lily. She must have grown up and gotten married and had this cute little girl.
Hey, Eddie, that woman looks just like the one in the picture we found.
Did you say that there's also a letter in the box?
Oh, right here. It says, "Dear Mother, my warmest greetings from Africa."
Lily wrote to her mother from Africa.
What are you boys doing?
What just happened?
Eddie and Mike just fell through their laundry chute.
Oh, no.
So you were just seeking shelter here?
Yes. I'm Sam Christensen. Especially when it's storming like this. Then the people from the Historical Society started coming around. But luckily, Hines and me found the secret passageway so we could hide. That's who I thought you were at first.
What is that?
What was that? Mike, did Eddie
fell through a hole in the floor and slid through a chute all the way here.
If you guys are okay, I'd like to introduce you to Sam.
Hello.
The mysterious stranger.
Yep.
I guess there's laundry chutes all over this house. In the old days, it saved them from carrying the laundry down all those stairs.
Wow, this basement is really huge.
And it continues right around the corner.
Rusty, how'd you get here?
Same way, the laundry chute. And guess who else I found?
Hey, did you miss us?
Dad and Timmy. Praise the Lord, you're all right.
You're all here.
Yep.
Angela,
we found everyone down here. Please come down to the basement.
We'll be right down.
So we just sit here and wait.
Well, there's nothing else we can do.
We came across some of the coolest stuff.
Yeah, like this glass case. Shine your light on it, Timmy.
Well, look at that. Mr. McBain had a spider collection.
Do you know that there are over 36,000 different species?
Wow, no wonder you find them everywhere.
Actually, that's a good thing. You see, God has made our world in such a wonderful balance, and spiders play a big, big part of that. Without spiders, cockroaches, flies, and other pests would overtake the planet.
Kendall, you said there are over 36,000 different species, but aren't those all pretty much the same?
Well, yes and no. Most spiders have a miniature silk factory.
They use that for making their web.
Exactly. Now, God has designed the spider with a special gland that makes liquid silk. That liquid is pumped to a special area of the spider's body called the spinneret that weaves the silk into the web. By the way, have you ever thought about why a spider never gets caught in its own web?
That would be a problem, wouldn't it?
You better believe it would. But it uses two types of silk, sticky and non. A bug doesn't know the difference, so it gets stuck in the sticky silk. And then when the spider races across the web, it remembers to only step where it placed the non-sticky silk.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Well, they may spin fine silk, but they're all hairy and gross and stuff.
Well, actually, that hair is surrounded by very sensitive nerves. It allows the spider to sense the vibrations that bounce off those hairs.
But aren't a lot of spiders dangerous?
Well, only about 30 different spiders are dangerous to humans. But it's a different story for other insects. God has designed them with special venom sacs that deliver their poison through sharp, hollow fangs. And then there's a spitting spider. He moves too slowly to catch anything, so he spits a sticky venom that glues its prey in place while paralyzation sets in. Other spiders set booby traps, so when an insect sets off a trip line, the insect is yanked off the ground and left dangling in the spider's mercy.
No way! I never knew spiders did so many things.
Well, actually, that's just a few. There are so many amazing things about spiders. Well, it just reminds me of how fantastic God's imagination really is.
That's very interesting.
Oh, hey guys, you found us.
Is everybody here?
Yeah. We're all here.
And our mysterious stranger? Turns out he's just here to escape the storm.
Boy, you scared us to death.
Sorry. The name's Sam Christensen.
Hello. Hey. Hello. Oh, I haven't seen a dirt basement like this in years.
You know, I think Jim and I have solved the mystery.
Kendall and I found a newspaper obituary that tells about how their 15-year-old daughter died from pneumonia.
How sad. So Malcolm McBain must have buried her here.
Well, as horrible as it sounds, I think we have the answer to our mystery.
Wait, there's something wrong with that.
What do you mean, Jesse?
Well, we found her Bible. In the front cover, it says that she made a commitment to the Lord on her 15th birthday, on March 2nd, 1899.
But if she was 15 in 1899,
She would have been 18 years old in the winter of 1902.
I'm pretty sure it said she was 15.
Well, I've got the obituary right here.
Read it.
Yep, it says that the McBain daughter was 15. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I just assumed it was talking about Elizabeth. Further down, it says, Lily McBain will be forever in our hearts.
It was their youngest daughter.
Oh, how sad. Their youngest daughter died, too?
So we're back to not knowing what happened to Elizabeth.
Wait a minute. Oh, we found this locket in Mrs. McBain's jewelry box.
Oh, yeah. So if these aren't pictures of Lily, who are they?
Martha, remember there's also a letter in the box with that locket?
Oh, that's right. Where'd it go?
Oh, I've still got it. Here you go.
We thought this letter was from Lily. She starts out, Dear Mother, greetings from Africa. I write this with sadness upon hearing from you that my father has disinherited me. I can't believe he even went to the extent of burying my things in the basement.
Elizabeth must have wrote this.
What are you doing, Shadow? Look, he's digging in the corner.
Shadow, hey, look, a wooden box.
Wow.
Oh, it smells musty.
What's inside?
Oh, look, old baby records. Oh,
and a couple of pictures. And a bronze shoe.
Guys, now we know what Mr. McBain was burying on that stormy night back in 1902. It was the memories of Elizabeth.
Oh, this stuff is precious. No wonder Rose was so upset.
What is this?
Well, it looks like a Bible verse. She embroidered it into the cloth.
Oh, which one?
It's Matthew 28:19. It says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
I'll bet that was her life verse.
Hey, I think that solves the mystery.
Well, how's that, Jonathan?
Elizabeth wasn't murdered, and she didn't die of pneumonia or disappear.
Okay.
She went on the mission field.
Yeah. I think Jonathan's right. Listen to the rest of the letter we found in the locket. I am sorry I left the way I did, but I had no choice but to elope. You know that though Father knew Mitchell from childhood and had given his blessing to our eventual marriage, as soon as Mitchell received his call to the mission field, Father would have nothing to do with him or me. How he cannot be happy that Mitchell as well as I were so deeply touched by his tales of the African people and have chosen that as our mission field, I cannot fathom. Here is a locket of me and your lovely granddaughter. Dear Mother, I have written a song in parting. Oh, listen to this. O Sovereign Lord, thou goest beside me. Though comfort I lack, I know thou wilt guide me. My father I leave, but now I have found thee. To you I will cleave, for your love surrounds me. Though where you may lead us has no rose on the hill, I'll leave all to follow, take me where you will. So farewell to the rose, the lily, the glen. I leave you to tend to hearts of lost men.
What's the matter?
Wait, there's more. This is the last time you will see me use the name Elizabeth. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So as that new creature, I am now calling myself Izzy. Yours truly, Izzy.
Huh.
Izzy Blakesley?
It's Jem's grandma. Oh,
no way.
Man.
Oh.
Well, gang, great job. We solved the mystery.
Hey, look, what's that shiny thing taped inside the top of the box?
There it is. The key was right here on the underside of this box lid this whole time.
Oh. Yes. Yeah.
Come on, everyone. Let's go home.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning, Pastor Dave. We wanted to introduce you to some visitors. Oh, this is Martha and Jim Brennan.
How are you?
Thad and Timmy Sherman.
Hi.
Eddie Novacek, Mike Thomas, and Rusty Mitchell.
Hey.
Oh, good to meet you, one and all.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to see the church where the famous Izzy Blakesley got her start.
It's sad that Malcolm McBain disinherited her.
Oh, but you don't know the rest of the story. See the stained glass window up there?
Well, yes, I've always admired it. It's of the lost sheep.
It's the parable of the shepherd who left all 99 sheep to go after the one.
That was donated by none other than Malcolm McBain.
No way!
But why?
On his deathbed, he and his daughter were reunited, and she led him to the Lord.
That's so beautiful.
Yes, he donated a substantial sum to the mission field.
It just goes to show you that you never know the heart of a person.
what an amazing story.
Isn't God so awesome?
Yes, he is.
Definitely. So, Rusty, you know, I look forward to seeing you here next week.
Well, see,
We don't have any more football games.
Yeah, so you can come to church.
This could be your chance to learn the truth.
Yeah, Rusty, I think... Hey, where'd he go?
I think he just disappeared.
Here we go again.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Mystery at McBain Manor. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time when Dr. Kendall Park is taken away by the sheriff for stealing in Jonathan Park and the Blazing Star.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.